It's your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC for 20 great years has the best OTR on our live streaming. And continue tuning in to the Radio Book Channel, along with the RTC Music Channel, all at oldtimeradiolisten.com.
Welcome to the RTC Weekly Download. On today's podcast, we're going to feature two of the series that we normally have on the Radio Theater Channel. You can hear these weekdays on the Theater Channel. X-1, the famous sci-fi series, and also Theater 5, which is excellent drama from the early 60s. So it's late radio, early 60s, early mid-60s. Now, we'll start off with X-1.
In just a moment, X-1. But first, tomorrow evening, your Monday music favorite, The Best of All, presents a special tribute to the late Lionel Barrymore. World famous as an actor, the versatile Mr. Barrymore was also a talented and accomplished musical composer. And tomorrow night, you'll hear some of his finest works. Skitch Henderson conducts the NBC Orchestra in this musical salute, and you're all invited. So listen tomorrow night for The Best of All, featuring music by the late Lionel Barrymore, an entertaining and unusual Monday evening NBC highlight. And now stay tuned for X-1 on NBC.
Countdown for blastoff. X-5, -4, -3, -2, X-1. Fire. From the far horizons of the unknown come tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future, adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on a thousand maybe worlds. The National Broadcasting Company presents X-1. Tonight's story, No Contact. It was in the year of 1982 that spacemen first discovered the Great Galactic Barrier. In the past 10 years, rocket travel to the moon and the nearer planets had become commonplace. And then men fixed their sights on a more distant star, the remote planet known as Volta. 5 exploratory ships went out, and none came back, each in turn disappearing mysteriously at the same vanishing point, at an invisible wall somewhere in the vast outer reaches that became known as the wrecker of spaceships, the Galactic Reef. And yet, the explorers refused to admit defeat. It was on June the 2nd, 1987, that the rocket Star Cloud made ready for takeoff, the 6th to attempt to crack the barrier and win through to Volta.
Now hear this. Condition green. 2 minutes to blast off. Condition green. 2 minutes to blast off.
Well, Lewis, this is it. I don't suppose you'll be needing the ship's doctor up here on the bridge during blastoff.
I think not, Smitty. There's little chance of acceleration bends in these new overdrive ships.
I'll be in my office then, counting vitamin pills if you need me. It's only a few steps. Good luck, Lewis.
Thank you, Smitty. Lieutenant Collier.
Yes, sir?
You're relieved. You'd better get down to navigation control and take over.
Yes, sir.
Lieutenant.
Yes, sir?
We've never flown together before. This is your first flight in a space vessel as big as the Star Cloud.
Yes, sir, but I was trained in oversized jobs at the Naval Academy.
Well, if you're half as good a navigator as your father was, you'll do fine.
Thank you, sir. Did you ship out with my father?
I served under him on one of the first rocket runs to the moon.
I see.
I almost went along on his last trip to the barrier. Too bad about that.
Yes, sir.
That's all, Collier.
Lieutenant Paulison.
Get me the ground control tower on the field. I want to talk to Colonel Harrison.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, sir. I've patched in the bridge speaker.
Colonel Harrison?
Yes, Captain?
We're standing by for takeoff in 30 seconds.
Good. The field's cleared of all personnel. We'll try to reestablish radio contact immediately after takeoff. In any event, there'll be a 24-hour ground monitor.
Fine.
Good luck. Hope you make it.
Thank you. Bridge to navigation control.
Nav control, Collier.
Ready, Lieutenant?
We're ready, Captain. The course is in the integrator for takeoff at 1,200 hours.
All right. Stand by for blastoff. Bridge to engine room. Fire up your rocket chambers. Take off at exactly 1,200 hours. I'll read you off. 20 seconds. 19. 18. 17. 16. Hold it. Revoke all orders. Who turned in that alarm?
This is Paulison, sir. We've uncovered a stowaway.
Stowaway? Where?
Hiding in sick bay. Dr. Smithson found him.
Have him brought up to the bridge. Engine room, kill your rockets and stand by.
Thorson, this is Colonel Harrison in ground control. What's holding you up?
Trouble.
What's the matter with you?
What's the matter with you? There's a stowaway aboard.
Stowaway?
Yes, I thought your men were supposed to police this base. What's the
All
matter
right,
with you?
Captain, take it easy.
You know what this delay can do to us, don't you? 1 minute later, takeoff can throw us a million miles off course. We'll have to reintegrate the whole works.
Well, look, how long do you think it'll take?
Don't bother for me for a while. I'm busy. Stupid idiot.
Captain Thorson?
Yes, come in, Smitty.
Here's your stowaway.
I'll court-martial the... Oh, Charlie.
Can you use a good radio man, Skipper?
Well, I see you two have met.
Matt, Skipper and me made 50 trips to the moon together. Didn't we, Skipper?
Charlie, if you wanted to come along, why didn't you volunteer?
I did, Skipper. They turned me down.
Well, what's wrong with you?
Acceleration bends. They said my arteries wouldn't stand another trip.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
But they're wrong, Skipper. I got one more good trip in me. Listen, Skipper, you know that these green kids, they don't know the first thing about space radio operation. Now, you put a man like me on, and I'll be getting you bedtime stories from Mars.
Charlie, you know the regulations as well as I do. I can't take you much as I'd like to.
Colonel Harrison will murder me for this.
Well, I'm sorry, Charlie. I'll have you put aground. I'll tell you what, I'll ask Harrison to put you on as ground radio contact, and it'll seem as if you're right here with us.
He won't do it, sir.
Well, he'd better. I'll have him busted to corporal for letting you sneak aboard. Look, Charlie, you better be off. Paulison.
Yes, sir.
I'm sending this man aground. Give him time to clear the launching platform.
Yes, sir.
So long, Charlie. I'm sorry.
Good luck, Skip.
I thought you were going to have him drawn and quartered.
If it had been anyone else, I would have, Smitty. But Charlie, well, he's kind of special. He's been with me since my first command when we began the regular run to the moon. And if he wanted to come along this time, well, it's only through loyalty to me.
You know, Lewis, I didn't realize it before, but you're almost human.
Captain Thorson, Nav Control, Collier.
Oh, yes, Lieutenant. How badly are we fouled up? Can you recalculate the course, or shall I cancel the takeoff?
I've already plotted a new course on the integrator, sir. If we take off in exactly 30 seconds, we'll need to correct for only a 1 degree deflection. I can do that before we breach the stratosphere.
That's quick work. Are you sure?
Yes, sir. Positive, sir.
All right, Collier. I'm putting it in your hands. We'll blast off on your signal. Bridge to engine room. Prepare to blast off on navigator's signal. How are we doing, Collier?
Coming on the bearing, sir. That's 4, 3, 2, 0. We've intersected the course vector.
Good work, Collier.
Course is corrected, sir. We're ready to go into atomic overdrive anytime you say.
All right. Stand by.
Yes, sir.
Now hear this. Now hear this. Prepare for maximum acceleration. Bridge to engine room. Kill your rockets.
Rockets out.
Fire up number one cyclotron.
Number one ready.
Fire up number two.
Number two ready.
Withdraw your dampening rods.
Fission chamber ready. Blast tubes cleared. All generators operating at capacity. Take it over, sir.
Go into overdrive at the count of zero. 3 seconds, Mr. Collier.
Three.
Two.
Two.
One.
One.
Zero.
Zero.
How are we doing, Collier?
On course, sir. She's running hot and true.
My compliments, Lieutenant. This job would have done your father credit, and he was the best navigation officer I ever saw.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Start your gyros. Put her on robot control. All right, the bridge is yours, Mr. Collier. If you need me, I'll be in Dr. Smithson's office.
Yes, sir.
I see you got us off the ground.
You can thank young Collier for that. Chip off the old block.
You knew his father?
As a matter of fact, I knew him very well. First-rate spaceman.
Well, is he the one
Yes. He was lost in the galactic barrier on the second ship we sent out to Volden.
Lewis, just what do you think this galactic barrier is?
Oh, your guess is as good as mine, Doc. All I know is that five ships have gone into it, and none of them have come back out.
You think it's a nit? How about Mestrovic's theory that it's a time warp in space? That the ships reach it and slip into another dimension.
I think that's a lot of rubbish. My theory is that the galactic barrier is nothing more than a radioactive layer of some kind.
Why do you say that?
Well, we know that radar signals bounce off it like they were hitting an invisible glass wall. And we know that it destroys our ships and crews in some way. There's no other logical explanation.
What makes you think we can get through it, Lewis?
Because we're ready for it. The others weren't. The entire hull of this ship is completely shielded with lead. We can crack through any radioactive cloud ever detected. Besides, we're equipped with some new UHF radio devices that should enable us to maintain radio contact with Earth. Nothing can happen. Absolutely nothing.
Now, who are you trying to convince?
Myself, I suppose.
Lewis, you've had your share of glory. First skipper to reach the moon back in 1962. You could have retired. Why are you risking this trip?
Five ships are missing. Men like Prentice, Margotson, young Collier's father. I'm tired of seeing good men fed into that meat chopper.
Then why are we going to Volta?
We haven't any choice, Smitty. We're in a race, the kind of race where men and ships are expendable. According to the Interspace Code, the first nation to reach Volta can claim it.
Well, personally, I want no part of it.
Now, Doc.
I'll have to play physician, morale builder, and mother substitute for 112 slightly nervous men.
Well, your morale doesn't sound too good, Doc.
As morale officer, I can state without fear of contradiction, it is terrible. And something tells me, as we approach that galactic barrier, I'm not going to be alone.
Hello, Earth. Hello, Earth. Captain Thorson of the Star Cloud calling Earth.
Hello, Star Cloud. Hi, Captain.
Charlie. Well, I see they haven't court-martialed you yet.
No, sir, thanks to you.
Well, it's good to hear you. You can read us the funny papers on Sunday morning.
All right.
Now, how's our signal?
Strong. Clear as a bell.
Now, here's our log report for Colonel Harrison. You ready?
Shoot.
June 2nd, 1987. 4 weeks out from Earth. Running true. No radiation. Operation normal. Still making our approach to the galactic barrier. That's all, Charlie. See you later.
Good luck, Captain. I sure wish I was with you.
How's the morale, Smitty?
The men know we're getting closer to the barrier. They're beginning to show a little tension, Lewis.
Oh, how's their physical condition? Any sickness?
About half the crew has come down with space blues.
Ah, I was afraid of that. Are they bad?
Same as usual. Lips and hands with a bluish cast. Eyes are sensitive to infrareds.
I don't know. When I first started flying these tin cans, nobody ever heard of space blues.
Well, now there's a theory it's caused by the terrific acceleration of atomic overdrive. The change in gravity affects the circulation.
What do you think?
I think it's psychosomatic. I've noticed that the same men who get space blues under tension on a ship tend to get blue coloration back on Earth when they're upset. I guess it's just an occupational disease of space navigators.
Uh-huh. You think it's just nerves, then?
Well, young Collier's got a bad case. I think it's tension from overwork.
Maybe he needs some vitamins.
Lewis, when will you realize that vitamins are not a panacea for all the troubles of mankind?
Sir, I understand that you've relieved me from duty.
Well, Dr. Smithson says you aren't looking very well, Collier. I'm giving you a rest.
Sir, I feel perfectly able to continue.
Your lips are as blue as Minnetonka.
Captain, I'd like to remain at my post.
Don't be foolhardy, Lieutenant.
I'm not being foolhardy, sir. I have a special, personal reason for wanting this expedition to reach Volta.
Your father?
Yes, sir.
You think he might still be alive?
I have to find out what happened, sir.
I think I understand. Very well, Collier. Report back to duty. What's the reading policy?
We're getting a plus +5 radar bounce now. Coming off the barrier almost as fast as we sent it out.
What's the interval?
2 seconds. Shortening steadily. At this rate, we'll hit the wall in the next few minutes.
All right. Alert the crew. Sound general quarters.
Now hear this. Condition red. We are now approaching the galactic barrier. All hands to stations. All radiation detectors to be fully manned. Full security will prevail until further notice. That is all.
Paulison.
Yes, sir?
The radar bounce is up to plus +6. We'd better try to make final contact with Earth. Is Sparks still trying to raise the base?
Yes, sir, but he's not having much luck.
Oh?
Seems to be some interference. That's the radio room now.
Yes? You got him? Well, cut in on the bridge speaker. Captain will take it from here.
Hello? Star Cloud to Earth. Can you hear me, Earth?
Hello, Skipper. I can barely read you. We're getting heavy static from Sunspot.
That's not Sunspots, Charlie. We're right on top of the galactic barrier. Getting a plus seven radar bounce. Expect to hit the barrier almost any second now.
Good luck, Skipper.
If we crack the barrier and come through still in one piece, I'll try to get back to you on the high frequency band.
Got you, Skipper. Don't worry. I'll be waiting.
So long, Charlie.
So long, Star Cloud.
You must be getting awfully close now, Captain. Echo's bouncing back so fast it's almost beating the signal.
Well, when they go inside, hold on to your hat. That's when we run into the wall.
Any second.
Hold on.
Oh, here goes nothing.
Here it comes.
Captain.
Nothing happened.
We made it.
We made it, Captain. No radiation, no time warp, no nothing. Now, the crew's gone crazy, sir.
Let them. They've earned it. Doc, can you break out a few bottles of snakebite serum for medicinal purposes?
I sure can, Lewis.
This goes for a celebration. How's your morale now?
It couldn't be better. How's yours?
Couldn't be better.
Condition red. Radiation detected. Condition red. Radiation detected.
Holy mackerel. Look at the needle on that indicator.
Paulison. Yes, I see it, Captain. Picking radiation like crazy.
What's it like?
Well, it's a strong impulse.
What kind?
I don't know. It's too long for a cosmic ray, too short for UHF. Whatever it is, sir, the ship is lousy.
I'll track it down, triangulate it, and make it fast. I want a directional fix.
Yes, sir.
Engine room.
Yes, sir.
We're picking up radioactivity. Is the fission chambers?
No leak here, sir.
Check your gauges.
Nothing here, Captain. Must be coming from outside.
Damage control. Is our lead shield leaking radiation? Well, keep at it. Paulison, how are you doing?
I've got a fix, Captain.
Well, what is it?
Well, I'll have to recheck my figures.
Now, hurry it up.
Angle is correct, but
now, Come on, man, for Pete's sake. Where's the radiation coming from?
Sir, it's coming from inside the ship.
Oh, that's impossible.
No, sir, I've checked it twice.
Well, it's got to be the engines, then.
If it is, sir, we're finished.
Engine room.
Yes, sir.
That radiation must be in the overdrive pile.
No, sir, it isn't here, sir.
Are you certain?
Yes, sir.
All right, keep checking. Well, there's only one thing left to do. Paulison, get a Geiger counter. We're going to start combing this ship inch by inch.
Yes, sir.
All right, turn it on.
Yes, sir. All right, ready, Captain.
We'll check the atomic guns first. Come on. We'll cut through the officer's quarters here to ordnance. Now turn here.
Well, wait a minute, sir.
Huh? What is it?
The signal's weaker now.
Yeah. Let's go back. Hold it. Seems strongest right about here.
Well, doesn't make sense.
Whose cabin is this?
Lieutenant Collier's.
Collier?
No, he's down in that control, sir.
Oh, I'll try the door.
It's not locked, sir. Oh, it's in here, all right. Listen to that counter. Strongest over here.
Open that wall cabinet.
It's locked,
I'll
sir.
I'll smash it. Shut off that Geiger counter. Now, what do you make of this, Paulison?
Well, it looks like some sort of portable transmitter, sir. Must be foreign manufacture. I don't recognize the calibration symbols at all. I've never seen anything like it.
Which raises a small question. What is Lieutenant Collier doing with a transmitter in his cabin?
I don't know, sir.
Well, I intend to find out, Paulison. Get down to nav control and bring Collier up to the bridge on the double.
Well, hadn't we better find some way to shut this thing off first?
I know a way. Lieutenant Collier, I'm going to ask a few simple questions and I want a few simple answers.
Yes, sir.
What were you doing with a transmitter in your cabin?
Transmitter, Captain?
Oh, you know nothing about it.
Oh, no, sir, I don't.
Do you recognize these calibration symbols?
No, sir.
Can you think of how it might have been placed in your cabin without your knowing it?
No, sir, unless someone came in while I was on duty.
Would that have been possible?
I suppose so, if someone had a key.
I found your cabin door unlocked.
Well, I meant a key to the wall cabinet.
I didn't say the wall cabinet.
Well, I...
You what, Lieutenant? How could you have known it was in the wall cabinet?
Well, I just assumed, sir.
Lieutenant Collier, I find it hard to believe you would lie. Having known and respected your father, having observed the way you handle your job. However, I intend to get to the root of this thing. May I have your wristwatch, Lieutenant?
Sir?
Your wristwatch.
Yes, sir.
Paulison, turn on that Geiger counter.
Yes, sir.
Hold this watch next to it.
Yes, sir.
That's all. Lieutenant, if you hadn't any close contact with that transmitter, how do you explain the radioactivity of this watch?
Well, I don't, sir.
I think you'd better. To whom were you sending those signals?
Condition red! Condition red!
There's your answer, Captain.
What is this, Collier?
Alien spaceship approaching! Alien spaceship approaching!
Collier, who's aboard that ship? All right, now talk!
Very well, Captain. My mission seems completed.
Your mission? Are you admitting that you're an agent of a foreign power?
I am stating it.
What nation?
No nation, Captain.
What?
I am an agent of the Voltan government.
Now what?
The government of the planet of Volta.
You're crazy!
Are you so stupid, Captain? Did you think your people are the only ones who can invade another planet?
What do you mean?
We've had agents operating on Earth since 1945.
I don't believe you.
What do you think happened to those five ships, Captain? Where do you suppose we got our information? Your language, your culture, family background.
Your appearance, you look like...
Like Commander Collier? Well, is that so surprising, Captain?
You see, Captain... We had a living model.
I ought to kill you.
That would be very foolish, Captain. I would advise you to surrender without delay.
Alien ship now coming in orbit range.
I'll deal with you later, Collier. Paulison?
Yes, sir.
Put this man in irons. Take him away.
Don't worry, sir. We'll take good care of him.
Carpenter! Robinson!
Gunnery.
Gunnery Richardson.
What's the range?
10,000 meters. They're closing fast.
Put your guns on radar tracking.
Tracking. Coming on the bearing.
Fire. Fire, Richardson. Richardson, did you hear me? Fire! What's the matter down there? Did you hear me? Richardson, answer me.
It's no use to shout, Captain.
Collier, how did you get loose? Where's Paulison?
Lieutenant Paulison is dead.
All stations! Lieutenant Collier has escaped! Seize him, men!
Don't waste your breath. Your men can't hear you, Captain.
What?
Those still alive are my men.
You're lying!
No, Captain. Every ship that has ever left Earth was controlled by a Voltan crew.
That's impossible! Those were hand-picked men!
Hand-picked? By us.
I don't believe you.
No? Then why not call for help?
Carpenter, Robinson, Haley, report.
You see, Captain?
Carpenter! Robinson! Haley!
It's quite useless, Captain. I would advise you to sit very quietly and do nothing.
Very well, Collier. You've beaten us. What now?
The ship will be taken to Volta for, shall we say, further experimentation.
I see. Of course, there's one thing you hadn't counted on.
Just what is that, Captain?
Listen! Carpenter! Are you in there, Lieutenant Carpenter? They can't all be dead. There must be one alive. Smitty! Dr. Smithson! Smitty! Smitty, what have they done to him?
Lewis,
oh,
I...
dirty. I don't talk.
I must lean closer. There's not much time. Lewis, space blues.
Space blues? What is it, Smitty? What are you trying to tell me?
All men with space blues. Voltans.
Let me help you.
No, Lewis, get message back to Earth. Voltan fifth column. Watch out for space blues.
Smitty. Oh, Smitty.
Captain Thorson, you can't hide from us now. Come back to the bridge and surrender, or my men will come and get you.
Hello. Hello. Star Cloud calling Earth. Oh, please, God, let me get through before it's too late. Hello. Star Cloud to Earth. Come in, please. Come in, please.
Hello. Hello. Star Cloud to Earth. Captain Thorson calling. Charlie, come in, please. Hurry.
Hello.
Oh, hello. Can you hear me, Charlie?
Skipper, is that you?
Are you getting my signal?
It's coming in a little louder now, Skip. Keep sending.
My God, now look, Charlie, listen to me. Not much time. Get word to Colonel Harrison. Crew mutinied. Most of crew members, Voltans.
What?
Voltans.
Spell that.
V-O-L-T.
Voltans.
That's right. They're from the planet Volta.
Skipper, are you all right?
Now, Charlie, this is serious. They'll be here any second. Now listen, they have a fifth column on Earth. They're planning to invade you.
You mean it?
Of course I mean it. Tell Harrison, posing as humans. You can detect them by space blues. You got that? Only Voltans get space blue. Charlie, did you hear me?
Space blue. I get you.
They're bringing in, Charlie. I'm depending on you. Warn everybody.
Captain.
They've opened the door. So long, Charlie. Tell Harrison.
Captain. Captain Thorson. Hello. Hello, Star Cloud.
What's the trouble, Sergeant?
I was just trying to raise the Star Cloud, Colonel.
I had any luck?
No, sir. No contact.
No contact, eh?
No, sir.
Nearly an hour since they hit the galactic barrier. I don't understand why they haven't tried to get a message back.
No, sir. Neither do I.
Oh, all right. I'll take over for a while.
Yes, you do that, sir. It's all yours.
Right. Oh, and Charlie, you better go out and get yourself some coffee. You look a little blue around the gills.
Tonight, X-1 has brought you No Contact, written by George Lefferts from an original story of Lefferts and Ernest Kenoy. Featured in the cast were Louis Van Ruten as Captain, Donald Buca as Collier, Wendell Holmes as Charlie, and Bill Griffiths, Bill Smith, Matt Crowley, and Ken Williams. Your announcer, Don Pardo. X-1 was directed by Fred Way and is a transcribed NBC Radio Network production. And now, next week. When you want to take over a world, you naturally look for its weak point, some way to catch its people off guard. We live in a world where everybody loves a parade, a world of press agents and publicity stunts. But who would ever dream that invaders from outer space would take advantage of that weakness and actually hire a press agent to advertise their coming? Who would believe it was anything but just another publicity gag? At least, not until the terrible moment when it was already too late The moment of X minus one. Join the Abbotts on another baffling mystery tonight over most NBC radio stations.
Now we're going to jump ahead in time to 1965 and change the dial over to the local ABC station for Theater 5 and The Avenger.
Theater 5 presents The Avenger.
Good evening. Mr. Capo, my name is John York.
What do you want?
Sir, are you the Dominic Capo who was involved in a car accident last year?
You from the insurance company?
No, I'm not.
Jose! What does he want, Dominic?
What do you want to see me for, mister?
It's about that old woman that you ran over, Mrs. Perry.
So what about her?
I think it might be better if we talk privately.
First, do you say what you want, eh?
Come in, mister. Come in.
Hey, Josephine, shut up. I don't know this man.
Fantasy. She wants all the neighbors to hear.
Ah. All right. All right, come in. Thank you. Well, what do you want?
Mr. Capo, when you killed Mrs. Perry...
What do you mean, killed? My Dominique, he don't kill nobody. The grand jury say it was an accident. That old lady, she run right in front of the car. She don't look out.
Hey, shut up, please, Josephine. I don't got to explain no more to nobody.
The grand jury didn't indict you, Mr. Capo, did it?
No.
No. Well, that's the trouble, you see.
What trouble?
Mrs. Perry doesn't agree with the grand jury.
What do you say?
Mrs. Perry still holds you responsible for her death, sir.
To say that, sir? You talk crazy, mister.
Hey, mister, what do you say your name?
York, John York.
Mr. York. How this old lady can say anything about me? She dead.
Yes, I know.
You feel all right, mister?
I can't blame you for doubting my sanity, Mr. Capo. But I beg you to believe me. I'm in communication with the dead.
Get it. Dominic, this man, he's out of his mind.
Do you think the Federal Broadcasting Company would hire a crazy man as an electronics engineer, Mrs. Capo?
Hey! How we know you work for them?
Oh, well, here's my employee identification card.
I don't care. Nobody can talk with dead people, not even the old country.
I'm here to prove it to you.
Ah, sure. Hey, mister, you go now, eh? You come back next morning.
Hey, shut up, please, Josephine. You gonna prove you talk with the dead old lady?
I'm afraid I must, Mr. Capo.
What she say,
She wants revenge.
On me?
She's passed sentence on you from the other world. A death sentence.
Oh, mamma mia.
Hey, you got a gun?
No. But I am here to execute you, Mr. Capo. By prayer.
Call the police, Dominic.
Shut up. You gonna pray me to death, eh?
Yes, I must. I suggest, Mr. Capo, that you start your own prayers now.
Oh, sure. Mrs. Old Lady Perry in the sky, you listening? Well, go ahead. Take your revenge.
Will a lawyer, one over. Sumera Kamasento.
Hey, what kind of praying you call that, eh?
Speaking in tongues, Mr. Capo. It's the spirit speaking through
me. Oh, get out of here, you crazy!
Josephine, please. Why you bother a man when he's praying somebody to death, eh? Go ahead, Mr. York. Pray some more.
Cherisha Pawai.
Cherisha Pawai.
Buenayana Termino. Alleluia Puterio. Asumil.
Misericordia.
Dominatus Palaya.
Dominic.
Losando.
Murder.
Senfino.
You pray my Dominic die. And he die.
Amen.
Yes?
Mr. Tashley, my name is John York. I wonder if I could speak to you for a moment, please.
Well, my husband's not home. Come back tonight.
But it's you I want to see.
What about?
It's about your husband's first wife, Suzanne.
Come in. Now, what about Suzanne?
You know, of course, that she killed herself.
Boo-hoo-hoo.
Oh, really, Mrs. Tashley?
Oh, don't really me. The woman was an impossible neurotic. She drove Frank half mad.
Yes, but... Well, you did take him away from her, didn't you?
Oh, that wasn't hard. If I hadn't, some other... Who are you? How do you happen to know so much about my affairs?
I talked to Suzanne last week.
Really? Suzanne killed herself 2 years ago.
Yes, I know.
What is this? Some kind of sick joke?
No, I assure you it's no joke.
Then what's this all about?
I'm afraid, Mrs. Tashler, Suzanne blames you for taking her husband away and driving her to suicide.
Blames? What are you talking about? She's dead. She can't blame anybody.
But she does. And she wants you punished.
Oh, you better see a psychiatrist, my friend. Now get out of here before I scream for the police.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Tashler, but I'm instructed to pray the powers of the other world for your death.
Oh.
Supera, Mokara, Pelusin, Durea.
Your call,
Sabina,
Police Department, quickly.
Terrasin, Thermosala. Sopendio, Dominatus,
Palaya.
Hello, police. My name is Mrs. Linda Tashler. 242 South Wyota Boulevard.
Alexander Morikai. Enfino.
Can you hear me? Oh, what's the matter there? Hey, hello, Mrs. Tashler. Hello.
I'm very sorry. Mrs. Tashler isn't able to continue her call.
What happened?
Her heart has stopped beating.
Check him out?
Yeah, it's just what he told Mrs. Capo. He's an electronics engineer with Federal Broadcasting, doing experimental work in shortwave radio.
Yeah, we got a nut on our hands, Anderson. A real pistachio.
How does he do it, Lieutenant?
Voodoo. Some kind of witch doctor magic.
It could be something like
Except
that.
I don't believe it. Did you ever hear of voodoo killing anybody? Really killing them?
Well, Australian Aborigines are supposed to be able to murder a man by what they call pointing the bone.
How?
Well, medicine man points an animal bone at a victim and chants some kind of mumbo-jumbo death prayer.
And it works?
Yeah, the victim usually gets sick and dies.
But in the name of heaven, why?
Maybe because he's convinced he's doomed if the medicine man says so. Just loses the will to live.
Oh, brother.
Well, anyway, that's what the Australian police...
All right. How could it work here? We're not a bunch of superstitious natives.
Yeah. I wish I knew the answer, Lieutenant.
Well, heaven help us if it's what you think it is, Anderson. This nut will be able to run around knocking off anybody you don't like.
But what can we do about it?
Are you kidding? We're going to get that guy out of circulation fast. That's what we're going to do.
But how?
Arrest him, of course.
On what charge? Praying a man to death? There's no law against that. Lieutenant Ryan, we can't stop that man.
22, 26. Yeah, I guess this is York's house.
Hey, Lieutenant, look at this. This whole front door, it's a mirror.
Will you stop admiring yourself and lean on the bell?
There isn't any.
Then knock.
Suppose I crack it. 7 years hard luck. Hey, it opened by itself.
Oh, boy, we got a pistachio, all right.
Good evening, gentlemen. Come in. I've been expecting you.
Lieutenant Ryan, homicide. This is Detective Anderson. You John York?
Yes, I am. Please, do come in, gentlemen.
What opened that door, Mr. York?
Oh, it's really a two-way glass, Mr. Anderson. That lets me see who it is from the living room. I just press the button. The door operates electronically.
I see. Very clever.
Oh, it's really quite simple. I'm an electronics engineer.
With an unusual hobby, eh, Mr. York?
Oh, do you mean the death prayers?
I don't mean tiddlywinks.
Are you going to accuse me of murder?
Yeah, you might say that. You did kill Dominic Capo, didn't you?
I was instrumental in his death, yes.
And Mrs. Linda Tashler?
I was also instrumental in her death, Lieutenant.
Any more people you were nice enough to say prayers for?
Why, yes, there were 10 others.
Ten? What? Mm-hmm.
The coroner might have diagnosed them as cases of simple heart failure. That's how they die, you know.
No, I don't know. I don't know a lot about this crazy business. Mister, I sure aim to find out.
I'll tell you all that I can, Lieutenant.
You bet you will, Mr. York. Because you're under arrest for murder.
I would like to prevent you from making a fool of yourself, Lieutenant.
Oh, would you now?
Well, you see, I'm perfectly aware that I've committed no legal crime. I haven't used a murder weapon of any kind. The district attorney would have to prove that prayer can actually kill a man. I don't think he can.
Well, you know you did it.
Of course. But if I don't choose to testify, what jury would believe that I can pray a man to death? Do you believe it yourself, Lieutenant?
Oh, Anderson, say something.
Mr. York, let's be frank. I don't think Lieutenant Ryan or I have ever come up against anything like this before. I guess stumped is the word.
Well, of course, and I do sympathize, gentlemen.
Did you mean what you said about wanting to help us?
Oh, yes, indeed. I have nothing to hide, Mr. Anderson.
Well, then, would you at least satisfy my curiosity? How are you able to kill people by prayer, Mr. York? And why do you do it?
Well, now, please understand, I have no personal grievance against any of the 12 victims. In fact, I didn't even know them.
Oh, this guy's gone, really gone. Anderson, phone for the wagon.
Now, take it easy, Lieutenant.
No, gentlemen, I'm perfectly sane and rational.
Rational? You kill a dozen people you don't even know and you're rational?
Perhaps everything will be clearer if I take you to my laboratory. Would you please follow me, gentlemen?
Don't try anything, York, I warn you.
You see, some years ago, I became interested in trying to establish electronic communication with the other world. If there was another world. I wasn't at all sure at first.
Well, what made you want to try, Mr. York?
Well, it began with the death of my only son, Maximilian. He was only 13. I didn't have very much to live for after that. Oh, I loved his mother, but she died in childbirth. So Maximilian had been pretty much my whole world.
How did he die, Mr. York?
Oh, watch the steps, gentlemen. We were climbing Mount Washington together. Maximilian fell into a crevasse.
Oh, my. Oh, that's terrible.
Yes. The light of the world went out for me, Mr. Anderson. I just couldn't make myself believe that I'd never speak to my son again. What else was there? So I began to devote every spare moment to exploring the possibility of communicating with him again in the other world.
Say, you've got some setup here.
That whole wall there? All shortwave equipment?
Yes. Yes, I've been experimenting with wavelengths in the electromagnetic spectrum. I was looking for a new and special ultra-high frequency.
And you found it?
Yes, I did a few months ago. A new XT4 frequency, which gave me two-way communication with the other world.
Hey, another minute and this guy's going to have me believe in this jazz.
Mr. York, did you speak to your son?
No. No, not yet. For some reason, I don't understand. I've only been able to contact a very special group of dead people.
What special group?
People who blame others for their deaths and want revenge. I begged them to find Maximilian for me. They did locate him, but...
But what?
Well, they told me they wouldn't allow me to speak to him until I'd helped them first. Until I was their avenger on Earth. For a dozen of them.
Oh, brother, I've heard a mad scientist before, but this guy tops them all. I believe you, Mr. York. But how do the death prayers work?
Well, when I'm sent to a victim's home, I wear a tiny transistor set tuned to the wavelength of my transmitter here. The death prayer really comes from out there, through the relay. I'm rather like a medium being used by them. I speak in tongues, but what the words mean, I haven't the faintest idea.
But how can this possibly kill anyone?
I don't know, gentlemen. I only know that they told me the death prayer has the power to paralyze the heartbeat of its victim.
I see. Well, perhaps through fright?
Oh, come on, Anderson. I've heard enough. Phone for the wagon.
One second, Lieutenant. Mr. York, could you demonstrate that set to us?
Yes. Yes, I can. As a matter of fact, I was about to go to work when you came. I usually wait for 6 o'clock. That's when the signals are sharpest.
This ought to be good.
I'm hoping, gentlemen, that it's going to be a very special broadcast. I've kept my bargain to them. Mrs. Tashler was the 12th. Now they must keep their promise and let me talk to Maximilian. John York here. John York here.
Stand aside, John York. Hello, Lieutenant.
Who are you?
I was Frank Morris.
Frankie Morris is dead.
Why did you kill me, Lieutenant?
Hey, York. Is this on the level?
Yes, Lieutenant. You are speaking to a dead man.
Why did you have to kill me?
I didn't mean to kill you, Frankie. You ran. I yelled, but you didn't stop.
You knew I was pushing the stuff only because I was hooked. Was that a reason to kill me?
I told you it was an accident. I aimed for your legs.
John York, begin the death prayer.
You do, Buster, and I'll ram my gun down your throat.
He must pay for killing me. John York, the death prayer.
Dead or not, Frankie, don't you threaten the law, you hear?
They don't recognize that law, Lieutenant.
Mr. York, you mustn't.
Don't worry, Mr. Anderson. I have no intention of praying any more people to death.
You're not going to get the chance, York. I'm putting you in the psycho ward.
Listen to me, you people in the other world. I've kept my bargain, avenged a dozen deaths for you. Now keep your promise to me.
There is one more vengeance, John York.
No. No more. I demand that you let me talk to my son, Maximilian. Please. Please let me hear his voice again.
Father, why did you insist on our climbing Mount Washington? You knew how afraid I was.
Why, I wanted it to be a glorious adventure for us, son. Just the two of us, alone up there, miles above the world.
I would be alive now if you hadn't made me go, Father. You killed me. As surely as if you'd pushed me into that crevice.
No, you mustn't say that, Maximilian.
I must be avenged. I will now pray the powers of my world for your death, Father. Ulaloyo.
No, Mr. York, you mustn't do that. Smash the sad Anderson.
I want to go, Mr. Anderson. So I want to be with my son
again.
I'm coming, Maximilian.
Cherintima. Morteo, Rosanda, Morignis, and Fino. Amen.
Oh,
Theater 5 has presented The Avenger, written by Jules Archer, produced and directed by Warren Somerville. In the cast, Paul McGrath, Bryna Rayburn, Gil Mack, Peter Fernandez, and David Kerman. Audio engineers Neil Pultz and Marty Folia. Sound technician Ed Blaney. Script editor Jack C. Wilson. Original music by Alexander Vlastotsenko. Orchestra under the direction of Glenn Osser. Executive producer for Theater 5, Mr. Lee Bowman. We invite your comments. Write to Theater 5, New York 23, New York. That's Theater 5, New York 23, New York. This is Fred Foy speaking. This has been an ABC Radio Network production.
We had a request for rare comedy, so I rummaged around in the collection of OTR we have here and came up with the Sad Sack. For those of you familiar with World War II comic strips will remember the Sad Sack. This program is called Sack Returns Home from the Army.
Has anybody got a match? Thanks. Now I can light an old gold and listen to the Sad Sack. Out of the pages of Yank, the Army Weekly, comes the hero of World War II, the beloved and eternal Buck Private created by George Baker. Old Gold, the cigarette that does more to give you more. Old Gold is proud to present the Sad Sack. Warrior returns, the conqueror comes home. Yes, the Sad Sack has just been discharged from the Army. Let's follow him as he walks up the front steps of the boarding house he left four long years ago. One thought burns in his brain as it has in every soldier's: to get into a civilian suit and to see his girl.
I'm home. I'm home. Well, I am. Oh, someone's coming. Why, it's Mrs. Flanagan, my old landlady. She was like a mother to me. Hello, Mrs. Flanagan.
Hello. Well?
Mrs. Flanagan, you mean you don't remember me? It's me, Sad Sack. I'm back. I'm home. I'm here. Say something, Mrs. Flanagan.
Where's the $6 you owe me for the third week in April, 1941?
Gee, she remembers me. The chaplain told us we wouldn't be forgotten.
Sad Sack, if I sound nasty, it's your own fault. Leaving us so suddenly, just dropping out of sight.
But, Mrs. Flanagan, I couldn't help it. I got drafted.
That's no excuse. Where have you been all the time? In 4 years, you certainly could have dropped in for a visit.
From overseas?
Overseas?
Yes, they sent me there. By boat.
My goodness, the idea of sending a green kid like you overseas.
I was even greener on the boat.
Oh, you got seasick. Well, I might have known it. You always did have a nervous stomach.
Yes, but since I've been eating Army food for 4 years, it's not nervous anymore.
No?
Now it's neurotic.
Oh, you poor boy. I suppose you had to spend the whole trip lying in your cabin.
My cabin? On a troop ship? Gosh, all I had was a hammock. After 3 nights, I was so cramped up from it, I could hardly walk.
Heavens, was it as bad as that?
Yes. Then I found out you're not supposed to hang both ends of the hammock from the same hook.
You should have demanded a cabin. Oh, but you've always been afraid to open your mouth and stand up for your own rights.
But not anymore. In fact, People better be careful of me from now on. I read an article in Reader's Digest about returning veterans. I'm a problem.
Now, sad sack, don't go getting any silly ideas just because you read something about yourself.
But it's true. The article said we're men now, and we want to live. We don't want to settle right down. We want the things we've been denied. Wine, women, and song.
Wine, women, and song? Sad sack, you don't drink, and I've never even seen you with a girl.
Well, I sing a little. Besides, there's something you don't know. I do have a girl. A real girl. Female. Her name's Lucy Twitchell, and she lives at 1222 Oak Street. I only met her a week before I left for overseas, but we've been corresponding ever since. Gee, just thinking about her gives me goose pimples. Big ones.
Why, sad sack, then what did you come home for? Why didn't you go right over and see her first?
I wanted to go up to my room first and put on a civilian suit. I wanted her to see me as I used to be. Say, I still have my room, don't I?
Well, your old roommate, Chester Fenwick, hasn't shared it with anyone else, if that's what you mean. And don't let that four-flusher get his hands on your mustering out pay.
Oh, hasn't Chester changed at all, Mrs. Flanagan? Well, I'll see you later. I can't wait to get dressed and go see Lucy. Chester, it's me, Sad Sack. I'm back.
Sad Sack, you're back. How are you, boy? Let me look at you. Turn around. Oh, you look great, boy. You look great, yeah. Well, the Army's done wonders for you. Tell me about it, Sad Sack. You've been in the thick of things.
Well, you see...
You know, I wanted to get in it, too, but they wouldn't take me. You know why.
Was it because your uncle was on the draft board?
Yeah, why, Sad Sack, you know how bad my back is, boy. I couldn't carry a gun. Ah, but forget about me, Sad Sack. You're the one who's been over there, who's been in a glorious fight for freedom. It must have been rough. Tell me about it. Tell me all about it.
Well, the first place I landed
but
was...
But don't think it's been easy here. Because it ain't. We civilians put up with plenty, so you boys over there could have the best. When I think of the nights I've gone without steak, so you boys could have Spam. But forget about us. Tell me about you, buddy.
Well, like I was saying, the first place I landed was in New Guinea. I was in the first wave to hit the beach. And
there that reminds me.
And...
Do you know that for three summers straight, I didn't have enough gas to go to the beach even once? Cooped up here in this boarding house when it was 90 degrees in the shade.
Once I sat in a foxhole for 12 days in 110 degrees. The sweat just poured off me. It was awful.
Awful? Why, do you know what I'd pay for a Turkish bath? Why, it cost me $10 to lose 6 pounds.
In that foxhole, I lost 20 pounds.
Lucky boy. But the important thing is you're home now. You've got that discharge emblem on your blouse and you're mustering out pay in your pocket. You have got it in your pocket, haven't you?
Yes, I've got it.
Great. Great. When we go out tonight, it'll help us forget what you've been through.
Well, gosh, Chester, about tonight. Well, you see, well, the first night home, a soldier usually wants to be with his girl. I... have a girl, you know.
Why, Sad Sack, I didn't even know you knew anything about girls.
I didn't, but I heard rumors, so I investigated. They're soft. Gee, I got a nice girl, too. Lucy Twitchell.
But how come I didn't know anything about her?
Because I met her at the canteen just before I went overseas. She gave me a ham sandwich. Gee, she's pretty. With mustard.
Well, well, so you finally got a girl. Wonder what's wrong with her.
Of course, I haven't heard from her for 2 months because I was redeploying. But in my last letter, I proposed to her. I'm going to marry her.
Marry her? Now, wait a minute, boy. We've been roommates a long time. You can't bust up a thing like that without giving it a little thought.
No, Chester, my mind's made up. Excuse me while I go in the closet and get a suit to put on so I can go see her.
A sad sucker.
Gee, I wonder which one I should wear. The blue serge? Or the brown tweed? Or maybe my gray gabardine? Chester! I had 3 suits hanging in the closet. I don't see them.
You don't?
No, that's funny. They were here just 4 years ago.
Moths, maybe?
Moths? But they only eat wool. There'd still be the zippers left.
Sad sack, I see there's no use lying to you. You're my pal. I couldn't help it, boy. I couldn't help it. I love you too much.
Chester, what are you talking about?
Your suit, Sad Sack. When I read about the New Guinea invasion and I knew you were in it, I had a feeling I'd never see my little pal again. And those 3 suits hanging there reminding me of you, looking so empty and lifeless. I couldn't stand it anymore, I tell you. I just couldn't stand it. So I sold them.
Gee, Chester, I never knew you cared for me that much. But gosh, I wanted Lucy to see me in a civilian suit like I used to be. Now I'll have to go right out and buy a suit before I can see her.
Oh, fine, Sad Sack, do that. Yeah, and get a tweed, a large one. I've always wanted a tweed.
My, there don't seem to be many suits on display. Oh, that must be the salesman coming over here.
Yes?
Hello. I'd like to get a suit of clothes.
So would I.
You don't understand. I just got back from overseas, and I want to see my girl tonight, and all I got is this old GI uniform.
Wear it in good health.
Please, this is a very serious matter. I proposed to Lucy by mail, and to make sure she'll accept me, I want to look good.
But do you think a suit will do it?
Oh, you'd be surprised what the right suit does for my figure. It hides it.
Well, our stock is very low, and I suggest that you drop back in a month or two.
A month or two? But, gee, I'm a veteran. The chaplain said people would be nice to us.
Well, since you're a veteran, and since our store likes to take the veterans' interests to heart, I'll take a look in the rack and see what we've got. Say, what size are you, soldier?
5'4" with my shoes on.
I mean suit.
With a suit on, I'm still 5'4".
What a coincidence. Well, you can't be too choosy on size nowadays. Here's something. Slip it on. Well, now how does it feel?
Gee, I know you said I shouldn't be choosy about fit, but I think it's a little too big.
What makes you say that?
I have to bend over to put my hands in the pockets. I don't think Lucy would like me in this.
Oh, well, all right. Take it off. I think we have one small suit back here. It's a lucky thing you're a veteran, or I wouldn't let you have it.
Gee, I hope the color is right. I remember Lucy once said she liked my necktie because it matched my eyes. So, would you have a suit that matched my eyes?
I don't know. What color are your eyes?
Well, they're, Gee, I forget. Would you look into them, please?
Oh, all right. Let's see. Your eyes are blue.
Yours are green. Well, do you have a blue suit to match my eyes?
No. This one small suit I've got happens to be brown. Oh, here, try it on. If it comes anywhere near fitting, I'd advise you to take it.
All right. Gosh, this one is too tight. It pinches me in the shoulders.
Look, before you make up your mind about the pinching, try the pants on.
Why?
The way the pants will pinch, you won't even think about the coat.
I think this suit is much too tight. I can hardly move my arms. Gee, I won't even be able to hug Lucy when I see her. If I dare.
Oh, well, don't you worry. It'll loosen up as you wear it. Go ahead, move your arms around.
Well, all right.
There. See? I'll bet it feels looser already.
Gee, I can't wear this. It's ripped.
Well, since you're a veteran, we'll sew it up and let you keep it. Of course, it'll still be a little tight, but the important thing is you'll have a suit, and for only $75.
$75?
Yes, we're not like other farms. We're patriotic. We only take 3/4 of your mustering out pay.
Well, I can't wait anymore to see Lucy, so fix it up. Go ahead. Gee, how I love that Lucy. 4 years. And in all that time, I never looked at or had a single thought about another woman. Gee, I wonder if I'm normal.
Well, Sad Sack finally got a suit, even though it is a little tight, and he's on his way to 1222 Oak Street to see, at long last, his girl. But let's go ahead and see what's happening at 1222 Oak Street before Sad Sack gets there.
But, Daddy, let me explain.
You have plenty of explaining to do. Staying out all night. No daughter of mine stays out all night.
But, Daddy...
Oh, how much can a man stand? My son bangs up the car. I have a fight with my wife. My daughter stays out all night. And on top of that, this morning I find fungus on my rhododendrons.
Getting excited over nothing. I'm trying to tell you, I got married last night.
Is that any excuse to stay out all night? You got married?
Yes, Daddy. His name's Jimmy, and he just got discharged from the Army. He's tall and handsome and has big muscles, and he dresses like $1,000,000.
Well, why isn't he here? At least your husband should come back with his wife and meet his in-laws.
But here he is coming here, Daddy. He just stopped off at his house to tell his folks the good news. Oh, I'm so exhausted from all this excitement. I'm going upstairs. And you be sure and call me when Jimmy gets here.
All right. Oh, now. Now if only my son would go get married to some ex-wack, I'd have some peace around here. Oh, oh, that must be Jimmy, my new son-in-law. Tall, dark, and handsome, eh? I might have known my daughter would go for the physical type. Well, I... Oh, no!
What's the matter?
Wait a minute. Are you the fellow just discharged from the Army? I mean, are you the fellow who... That is, you and my daughter are...
Yes. I guess I am.
Oh. Tall and handsome.
Oh, thank you.
Big muscles.
The Army did it for me. I guess they stand out more in this tight suit.
Well, come on in out of the doorway before the neighbors see you.
Yes, sir.
Dresses like $1,000,000. Excuse me, but that suit. Where did you get that suit?
Oh, I know it's a little tight, but I was desperate for a suit. I was desperate.
What did you do? Hold up a midget in a dark alley?
Oh, no, I bought it. And I was lucky, too. They told me they saved it especially for a veteran.
Oh, I just can't believe it. I can't believe it. Wait a minute. Stand up again.
Yes, sir.
Sit down. It's true. What's done's done. What are your plans?
My plans?
Yes, concerning my daughter. I assume since you're just out of the Army, you're not too well set up financially for a place of your own. You want to move right in with my daughter this evening?
But I, do you, do I what, today, not,
Well, what's the matter? It's perfectly all right.
It is? Gosh, America sure has changed in 4 years. Gee, I didn't think I'd be getting married this fast.
Well, I didn't think my daughter would either. She only told me about it a few minutes ago.
Well, gosh, if I'm going to move in today, I better get going. It might take some time to get the license.
Yeah, sometimes there's quite a delay getting the license. The license? The license?
Yes, you need one when you get married.
He's telling me. I'll kill him. Somebody hold me or I'll kill him. Somebody hold me.
I'll hold you.
Oh, my blood pressure.
Gee, what are you getting so excited about?
I'm gonna kill you. I'm gonna.
Please, whatever it is, I won't do it again.
That's not good enough. You viper. You cad. You tight suitor.
If you feel this strongly about it, I'll do the noble thing.
And what's that?
I won't marry her.
No! Oh, where's a blunt instrument?
Please, put down the chair. Really, I don't understand this. Look, won't you please tell your daughter that Sad Sack is here?
Wait a minute. What did you say your name was?
Sad Sack.
Sad Sack?
Yes, sir.
Then you aren't Jimmy?
No, sir. I just got out of the Army today. I proposed to your daughter by mail just before I left overseas, and I haven't seen her yet to know if she's accepted me. Who's Jimmy?
Oh, what a relief this is. Sad Sack, let me shake your hand. I like you.
How long do you think you'll feel that way before you have the chair up in the air again?
Forget that. You see, my daughter got married last night to a boy named Jimmy, and I mistook you for Jimmy, and I thought you hadn't married her. But now everything is wonderful.
Gee, I'm glad it all worked out so good. And that,
did you say she was married?
Yes, and she... Oh, I forgot about you. I'm sorry, son.
Oh, that's all right. Everybody forgets about me. Gosh, 4 years of dreaming about her. And I was so true to her. Whenever I'd start dreaming of Lana Turner or Hedy Lamarr, I'd force myself to wake up. Well, goodbye.
Wait a minute, son. Wouldn't you like to see her and talk to her before you go?
No. I couldn't stand. I don't know what I'll do now. But will you give her this? It's a present I brought back from the South Pacific for her.
Well, it's a pretty package. What is it?
A coconut. They grow there. Goodbye.
Holds nothing for me anymore. There's only one thing left for me to do, and I'm gonna do it right now.
Well, what can I do for you, buddy?
I want to re-enlist.
Re-enlist? You mean we took you in the first place?
Yes. I was in for 4 years in the thick of it. I gotta get back in the Army. I just gotta.
Why are you so anxious?
I got something to tell the chaplain.
Well, I'll tell you, buddy, things are a little different now. We're not fighting a war where we can take just anybody. We have to have men who can make an impression on the conquered enemy.
But I fought them with bullets.
Yeah, but that was different. They didn't get a chance to see you.
But I gotta get in. I can't face my civilian friends after what's happened. Please take me in the Army. Please take me.
I wonder if anybody would believe this. Hey, look, kid. I am sorry for you, so if you'll just give me your name and number, I'll tell you what I'll do.
Gee.
What? If there's ever another war, I'll phone you.
Here, have some more cocoa, Sad Sack. It'll quiet you down.
Thank you, Mrs. Swanny.
Ah, it's a fine thing. Wouldn't even take the boy back in the Army after his girl jilts him. It's a fine country. fine country. I'm glad I live in it.
You be quiet, Chester Fenwick. Can't you see the boy's been hurt? That he's heartbroken?
Yeah, I'm heartbroken. Gee, now I know how Gene Tierney felt in Dragon Wake. I don't think I'm ever going to get over this. I just can't.
I'll get it. Hello?
Hello, I'd like to speak to Sad Sack, please.
Just a minute. It's for you, Sad Sack. It's a girl.
A girl? I don't know any other girls but Lucy. Lucy! No, I can't talk to her. I can't.
Sad Sack, the best thing a person can do with his problems is to face them. Now you go ahead and talk to her and get it out of your system.
All right. But you don't know what this is doing to me, Mrs. Flanagan. Hello, Lucy.
Oh, Sad Sack, don't be so nervous. Will you wait till I hand you the phone? Here.
Thanks. Hello?
Hello, Sad Sack. This is Lucy.
Oh, Lucy!
Oh, Sad Sack, I don't understand you. I heard you were home and around, and you didn't even come to see me.
I couldn't wait. For 4 years, I dreamed of coming back to 1222 Oak Street. And when I came there today to see you, what happened?
You came to 1222 Oak Street to see me today?
Yes.
But, Sad Sack, I moved from there a month and a half ago.
Do you move from there? Then you weren't? Then you didn't? Oh, I'm so happy!
The Sad Sack will return in just a moment. But first, I'd like to...
Pardon me, Mr. Joy. I know you're going to talk about cigarettes, and I have a very important question to ask.
Well, ask away, good lady.
Well, I keep hearing so much about cigarette laboratory tests. Tell me, are smokers becoming guinea pigs, or do they still smoke for fun?
Well, you do hear a lot about throat irritation and such these days, but as far as Old Gold is concerned, well, they want you to enjoy your smoke. They want you to get the full pleasure of rich, fragrant tobaccos. But if you should worry about your throat, I'll tell you this. In a 2-week test conducted by Fact Finders Associates, 69% of 1,200 smokers of other leading brands, or more than 2 out of 3, stated they found Old Golds less irritating to the throat. But we're not throat doctors. We manufacture pleasure. Pleasure burning at the end of a cigarette. Old Gold pleasure. So if you want a treat instead of a treatment, treat yourself to a pack of Old Golds right away.
Well, goodbye.
Well, where are you going?
I'm off for a treat instead of a treatment. Old Gold.
And now, let's look in on the porch of the house Lucy really lives in, where we find an extremely happy veteran talking to his girl.
Gosh, Lucy. You can imagine how I felt when I thought that man at 1222 Oak Street was your father, and you had married another man with muscles.
Oh, but that's all over now, Sad Sack. Would you like to put your arms around me?
Oh, gosh, Lucy. I don't think I should.
Oh, don't be silly. It's all right. And you've been through so much.
That's not what I mean.
Oh, come on, Sad Sack. Put your arms around me.
Well, all right. Here goes. That's what I mean.
That's all we have time for today, but we'll be back next week with some more great old-time radio, and I hope you can be here to help us enjoy it. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.